Good evening. I did not see you there. Welcome to the spooky midnight hour. I'm just kidding. Hi, everyone. I have the new thematic lighting going on. I need a robe for this thing. Next time I'll show up in a robe. But hi, everyone. Welcome to another weekly rendition of the the DDT reviews. Your weekly WWE NXT review team. And it has been quite a while, but we have all three hosts together finally in the same room. It has been a trying journey. I've been on and off with two of you separately. One week it's with Will, one week it's with Andrew. And we finally have all three together. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. For NXT, we have all three together. We were just together like not even a few days ago for the TNA Sacrifice review. But we are here to review this week's NXT from Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. I am Mikey, El Jefe around these parts, the man that runs the ones and twos, as well as, I guess, the face of BC WrestlePod at this point. Who knows anymore? Like, the nine of us have amalgamated together, and we're just one sole entity that kind of run the ship and enterprise. But I am joined this week by my two favorite lovely co-hosts. Don't tell the other boys. But first and foremost, you can find this man not only here to cover NXT, but you can find him to cover Ring of Honor and TNA as well. Mr. A to Z himself, Andrew, my friend, welcome.
Thank you.
So it's always lovely to have you. Yeah. And then, of course, as always, you can find him not only reviewing NXT, but also giving some very good insight in TNA wrestling as well. It's crazy that the NXT boys are also the TNA boys, which is great. But Papa Oso himself, Will, who has just come off of a long stretch of busy work. Now he is finally here to do more busy work with us. I want you to know that your time and you being here is appreciated. And I don't say it much, but both of you, thank you for both being here. Now that I got the heartfelt soda out of the way. So this episode, before we break it down bit by bit, I have a lot of thoughts and opinions about this. Some of the things are good. Some of it I was like raising the eyebrows, like, where are we going? All right. And then there was one particular segment I was just like, why are we here? What are we doing? Like, why is this a thing? Again, hit or miss this episode, but for the most part, I enjoyed a lot of it. But we'll talk about the main event, because there was one thing that I thought took a really weird swerve. But we'll talk about it. So, let's just jump straight into it. So, we didn't get this announcement until the show actually started. So, we're like, hey, we're going to open up with a tag team match. It's going to be LWO. And I'm raising eyebrows like, never mind. I was like, they're on main roster. Why do you keep bringing them back down? If you're going to keep them having their... keep them in NXT. Honestly, I'd rather see them in NXT because main roster's not using them right now. Well, who knows? Now that Rey Mysterio's back from injury, who knows what we're going to do with that. But hey, LWO here is here in NXT. So we get LWO versus OTM, the match of alphabet suit, apparently. And Booker T and Vic Joseph tell us that over the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a series of qualifying matches where the three winning teams of those qualifying matches will then have a triple threat against each other, and the winner of that triple threat will go on to face the Wolf Dogs for the NXT Tag Team Championships at Stand and Deliver. So once again, we're doing another tag title tournament. I mean, I'm not against it because it gets all the tag teams out there, but I thought the Good Brothers were next in line after Chase U lost at Roadblock. I still think the Good Brothers are going to be facing the Wolf Dogs, but who knows at this point. LWO is fantastic. OTM, not so much. I've said this before. I don't like the presentation of OTM. I was just like, I don't like it. And I'm kind of glad that they kind of let Jada Parker kind of be her own thing away from them now, which... it's the saddest thing, because Jada Parker was the best thing that OTM had going for them for a little bit. But the reason why I want LWO to stay here, because NXT Joaquin Wilde is so different than SmackDown Joaquin Wilde. This man dives over everything. So before we get into the winner, boys, how did we feel about the opener this week to NXT?
I mean, I was happy that we opened with a tag match. That was pretty fun. And, you know, it seemed like it was going to be a pretty good tag match, considering the fact that they both got actual entrances. It was clearly not going to be a squash or anything like that. And we had the classic matchup of power and size versus speed and agility. I feel a little different. I actually am becoming more and more a fan of OTM, especially because they're two huge human beings. And some of the stuff that they do is pretty crazy, but something I noticed was all four of them, even when things were a little off or like a little messed up or whatever, they were able to pull through it, either because like OTM is so strong that they were able to like readjust, or LWO was skilled enough that they could kind of get back on track. And that dive that Wild hit jumping off of Nima's back was insane. I swear he could have touched the lights when he got in the air. My biggest thing with this was how much interference there was on the outside. And it's like, LWO, you're a faction. Your tag team is showing up in NXT and nobody else from LWO is there to like be any kind of support. So it feels kind of like another company that sends people to a different company to just lose. And I feel like that's what they're doing with LWO, is going, oh, hey, we need another tag team to go down to NXT. LWO, you go down there and you lose there. So then that way we have some name to have to lose to an NXT tag team. But I liked it. I thought the match was really good. I thought all of them showed a lot of really cool things. LWO sold the power moves from OTM super well. But yeah, I thought it was a cool match to open the night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good match. I'm not a big fan. Oh, here's my hair. Okay, let me put it this way. I'm not an OTM fan when it's just the three of them. I am an OTM fan when Jada's involved, because they're different when she's involved, and I like that version of OTM than this version of OTM. Because when Jada's involved, OTM is a little more refined, one might say. When it's not, they're just a street thug gang, and it's like, okay, I get it. All right, cool, I suppose. And I think when Jada's involved, I believe that we see a better tag team than this sort of street fighty, you know, sheer power, you know, type of thing. I think when Jada's involved, there's like more strategy involved, at least in my observation, and I like that a lot better. Overall, I didn't think this was a bad match. I love LWO. I agree. I thought it was weird. It was just the two of them. There was no other members there. I don't know. That was weird to me. I was excited that LWO won, because I thought, again, they were going to come in and get their butts handed to them again. And I'm like, which is annoying. It's just like, and it's finally they won. And I was like, oh, well, that colored me surprised. I was very surprised that they won, because I agree. I thought it was more of a, oh, let's just send them down, let them get their butts kicked and, you know, whatever. And I was just sort of like, I've kind of grown tired of LWO kind of losing to everybody, because they're really great. I think they're a fantastic tag team, and I mean, they have fought some folks that, and they've lost to some folks that I'm just sort of like, how did you lose? I mean, honestly. And I thought this match was pretty evenly matched. I thought, you know, powerhouse and, you know, high, you know, sort of quick and fast, and this sort of like tanks versus like, you know, infantrymen type of thing. And I thought they all had their strengths in this match. And I thought, and I really, I didn't know who was going to win. I went into it thinking that OTM was going to win because that's how it was supposed to be. But then when LWO won, I sent a message to Mikey going, LWO, oh my God. I was like, they won. So, but overall, I thought it was a good match. I thought it was a good opening match. I thought, you know, I think it kind of set a bar, I think, that was hit and miss through the night. But, yeah, overall, I thought it was pretty good.
So, I'm going to echo what you said, Will. You're just like, LWO, it's nice to see the win because they lose elsewhere. Trust me, the SmackDown boys know this all too well because LWO keeps losing on SmackDown.
That's so sad.
Trust me, Professor, and Vinny, every single week we say this. It's like they win some and then they lose the important things. I'm like, just keep Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro down in NXT, honestly, because at least they get... I don't know if it's whoever is in charge of SmackDown versus who's in charge of NXT, but, like, they're not this nuts on SmackDown, and I don't understand why. I'm going to be here all night if I continue to talk about this, but we got the rest of the show to go. Trust me, the inner Puerto Rican and Mexican in me, like, this is, like, my people's man I got to represent, but I'm going to save that rant for another time because we got a whole lot of show. So after this match is over, LWO wins. So they're going to face whoever wins between the Good Brothers and Hank and Tank. Spoiler alert, it's probably going to be the Good Brothers. And the third match, I'm not sure because I'm actually like, I could see it going either way. Nathan Frazier and Axiom versus whoever's representing the No Quarter Catch crew. So I'm just like, I'm hoping it's Axiom and Frazier because I like those two so much. Especially Axiom, formerly known as A-Kid in NXT UK. And if you haven't seen his match against Gunther, oh gosh. Or Walta when he was in NXT UK before the WWE changed his name to something. That match was baller, but LWO is going to face whoever wins those two matches in a triple threat, and then whoever wins that goes on to face the Wolf Dogs that Stand and Deliver. Honestly, I would love to shock the world to see LWO face the Wolf Dogs because you know that match is going to be bananas, but they're not going to win. Low-key, I'm rooting for Axiom and Nathan Frazier, but I'm pretty sure the Good Brothers are going to be going to Stand and Deliver, so we'll see what happens with all that. Then we head backstage for another monumental chapter in the drama that is the falling out of Chase U. Thea Hale is there. She's on her phone. Andre Chase and Duke Hudson, our lovable dumb golden retriever boy, comes up. And they try to talk to her and be like, hey, we haven't really had a chance to actually sit down and talk. We want you to know, Thea, we love you. We appreciate you. Yada, yada, yada. And then Thea's like, okay, that's fine. Whatever. I'm not sad about that. Let me tell you what I'm sad about. And then I was just like, oh my God, I reverted back into high school. Because she's like, JC's out with a new friend, and I thought I was her friend, and I was like, wow, this is actually perpetually making me very sad right now. I was like, Thea doesn't deserve this. This story, in hindsight, is really stupid. I understand it's very stupid. The fact that me and Will have been following this thing since the inception, all those months ago, and then we're at the end of this part of the tale, I was just like, wow, we have really come a long way.
Yeah.
Which results in, because last week, me and Andrew, when we talked about this, Thea went off on her own. She attacked Kiana James and Izzy Dame, which I wish we would have saw on television last week, but she pulled a Blair Davenport and beat people up off camera. And so she needed a tag team partner. And then she's like, but I found someone because I have a friend in here and she has a problem with Kiana and Izzy. And in comes Kalani Jordan. And I was just like, oh, heck yes. Give me more Kalani. I love it. Little did I know future me was going to be slightly disappointed. Though I was okay with who replaced Kalani when we get to the actual match because I also love that person. But I was like, don't do this to Kalani. How dare you? But yeah, so Thea had her tag team partner. It was going to be those two versus Izzy and Kiana. This, again, it's camp, it's stupid, but I love it.
My only note was for this promo was Saved by the Bell, Class of NXT. It's every time I see it.
That's fair.
I'm just waiting for Thea Hale to be like, I will so tell you, bad.
My opinion got better as the night went on, but we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you always have to have this. You have to have this sort of corny, cheesy. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's that's where you're just like, God, I hate this so much, but I wonder where it's going to go.
Listen, this is my bar for anything. I will take this storyline over Triple H and a mannequin over any single day. Y'all know which one. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like you don't. Andrew's just like, oh gosh, I got flashbacks.
Yeah, even I know that one.
Or in more recent memory too, Lana and Bobby Lashley.
Recent news, that makes it even more.
Ooh, yeah, that was. Yeah, things are about to. Yeah, we're not gonna touch that. We're gonna keep this to NXT because that's yeah. That's a big problem, and we're going to save that for main roster crew because that hasn't trickled down to NXT quite yet, so we're going to hope to keep it that way. So after we get our Save the Bell Class of NXT episode for the week, then we get this very long promo from Roxanne Perez. God. Okay, I want to start by the good because I love me some Roxanne Perez.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give her the accolade that she is first Ring of Honor Women's Champion, because that title is still fairly new, and she won that thing before the world went into lockdown, and she held that thing for as long as she could until she lost it, you know, once things started opening up. So shout out to Roxanne. She is still very young in her career, but she is so dang good. The content of the promo wasn't bad. I liked what she said. However, I feel that if we shaved like a couple minutes off this thing, because then she started to spin in circles with what she was saying.
Yeah, this could have been done with a really badass video promo.
Honestly?
I mean, like, seriously, I think I would have preferred, like, a trailer-style, badass, Bond villainess type thing. You know, I would have preferred that than what we got. I think that, you know, and again, I love me some Roxanne Perez. And I think, you know, after when she started talking, I was like, oh, this is okay, cool. But, you know, when she was doing it, the whole time I was like, there's no pizzazz here. There's no oomph. I couldn't get into it. I mean, I what she had to say was very important, I thought, and it was great, but I just couldn't get into it. And I was just like, what is happening? I don't understand why I couldn't get into it, because I love her. And I was just like, and it's production. It is production value was really kind of missed. They could have done something really cool with this promo more so. I mean, because it was literally just like lights all the way up, you know, standing in the middle of the ring. I mean, there was no mystery. There was no danger, there was no darkness, you know, because, you know, we've seen Roxanne shift, like full-on shift, and it felt kind of like, you know, we're going to Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, I was just like, I didn't feel like I was in danger. I was like, you know, and I wanted to feel like I was in danger, and I didn't get that from this. And again, you know, this no diss on Roxanne by any means. It's just, I just wanted more production value in this. I think that with such a drastic change shift heel, you know, to heel, I just think it deserved more. You know, because Roxanne has just been this wonderful, you know, sort of face, and then all of a sudden, you know, I say all of a sudden, quote unquote, she does this full on turn. It wasn't like a maybe okay. No, it was like okay, bitch. You know, it was literally, and I was just like, why didn't we give this more? Because I think she's great and she's up and coming, and I think she's going to be something to reckon with in the future, very much so. And I just wanted more from the production aspect of this. I think that this was sort of, it felt a little thrown together. I don't know, from my point of view. I just don't think it did her any justice. Because you're right, there towards about, you know, two-thirds in, it was started going in circles. And I was just like, oh, God, girl. Go ahead, find a stopping point. Jump to the end. Because it's, oh, God, she's gone off script. Oh, God. You know, it was that. It felt like that. I was just like, So, yeah, they could have shortened that down. Paraphrase that, girl.
Andrew has no comment.
No, I mean, everything that I thought was already covered. She wasn't wrong about the things that she said. You know, obviously there's ways that you can handle that make you the face or the heel. But yeah, at a certain point it was like, okay, you said enough, or you could have condensed this down. But yeah. I mean... I like where they're going with her, but yeah, it doesn't need to be that long.
Right. And, I mean, I like what happened at the end, because before Ava can finish what she was about to say, Tater Tot herself jumps from the barricade. She literally jumped up from nowhere. I was like, where did you come from? Oh my gosh. She goes in to try to attack, you know, Roxanne. The refs separate the two. And I'm actually kind of intrigued and excited, because next week we're getting Tatum versus Roxanne, which I'm pretty sure, if not next week, the following week is going to prompt Lyra to come in and get her lick back, which I'm pretty sure is setting up Roxanne versus Lyra one-on-one at Stand and Deliver. And bold prediction here, I think Roxanne should be the one to take the title off of Lyra at Stand and Deliver. That way, because it's been a while since we had a heel women's champion in NXT. Last one we had was Tiffany Stratton. So that was in the summer. That was a very long time ago. Oh my gosh. But not really. Okay. So we go from one, you know, in-ring thing that lacked production into something that kind of was given production. Gentlemen, today we're going to review the film The Kidnapping of the Mad Dragon. So, we're just going to combine both parts here, because you can't cover one without the other. So, the first part we see the family enjoying dinner at the restaurant. They welcome in new member, our lawyer of NXT. I don't know how that works, but all right. But they welcome the new member in Luca. They talk about how Tony got the match, how he managed to get Trick to come back, yada, yada, yada. And then walks in Ilya Dragunov, and my first note was, I'm all for Terminator style, but bro, not these sunglasses, Ilya. I was like, what are these, dude? What are these? I was like, oh no. I was just like, don't do this.
Plus, it was nighttime. Why are you wearing sunglasses at nighttime?
You could tell that they filmed this during the day and they filmed the outside scene separately. I was like, this is
that cool?
What is this?
I need continuity, man. Yeah. I wear my sunglasses.
But Ilya comes in, and so Stax, Luca, and Adriana all leave so Tony and Ilya can have a chat one-on-one. And I was just like, oh, okay, I like where this is going, because Ilya gives Tony his praises, but then also forewarns him that he needs to be careful because he has no idea what he's going up against, which then prompts Stax and Luca to do the weakest kidnapping attempt ever. I was like, this is Ilya Dragunov. I'm like, in reality, two guys should not be enough. You need to have a whole squad. But essentially, they take him and they throw him in the trunk of Tony's car, which then they go take a drive to Tony's favorite spot, which is the bridge. I want to set this up and I want to make this very clear without mentioning the words. While Tony was talking to Ilya, before I get into the content of this, I was like, did he just admit to multiple murders on NXT television? I was like, he admitted to multiple murders on NXT television. I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? But this is where I really enjoyed this promo book. Tony says, it's like, I know what you are, Ilya. I know you're the Mad Dragon, but you have no idea who you're dealing with. At the snap of my fingers, I can take everything away from you. And at Stand and Deliver, I'm going to do everything it's going to take that title from you. And then he's like, you can have a nice walk. And then as Tony walks away, I love what Ilya says. It's like, Tony, never turn your back on the Mad Dragon because you have no idea who you're going up against. And I'm kind of excited for this match at Stand and Deliver now. I mean, I was before, but now I was like, okay, now you got me hooked. Because before I was like, Tony's a face. Like, what is happening? Oh, we got a little bit darker this week. Okay, now I'm sold. So, boys, how do we rate this, you know, Sundance music, this Sundance Movie Festival film that we watched?
You know, also when they threw him in the back of the car, he was really quiet in that
they
trunk.
Have it sound. They have it soundproof. They've done this before.
It was so funny.
Literally did. Joe Gacy was in the trunk for crying out loud at one point.
I just thought it was hilarious. I was like, are you really trying to tell me that you've got Ilya Dragunov in the trunk of your car? Because I was like, I'm not believing you. I'm not believing you. But I did like this whole promo. I thought it was fun. It was, and I love the interaction of the bridge. That was probably my favorite part of it. You know, the all that, but yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Biggest complaint with this is one of the complaints that I have about NXT in general, and I've now watched it on a few different platforms, is that the first part of this promo came after Lexus King made his entrance for his match. Before his opponent made his entrance. And NXT has a problem of doing this of like, oh, hey, here's the entrance for this match, or here's the beginning of this match. Now let's go to a commercial. Like, before the match, it's like, hey, we're going to get you excited. No, okay, now let's kill the momentum. And it was like, this promo could have gone before the match, it could have gone after the match, it could have gone anywhere. It didn't need to be in between the two competitors' entrances. Like, it was so weird.
It's not just an NXT. If you watch our main roster reviews too, because we complain about the same thing. Raw and SmackDown do the same freaking thing. It's like, let's do an entrance, backstage segment. Now let's do the other entrance match. I was like,
yeah.
What are we doing? So the first part, yeah, you're right. The first part came in between entrances for Lexus's King thing. And then we got the full uninterrupted second segment, like, in its natural place. I was like, we couldn't have done that before. Whatever.
The other issue I had was...
Go ahead.
We came back from the first half of the segment, and commentary reacted like they had been watching the whole thing. And I'm like, first of all, why was there a camera during this whole situation? Why was this mafia letting a camera crew film what they were doing? Second of all, why is no one doing anything about this, like, kidnapping and potential, like, you know, murder or whatever? I think they should have handled it, and this, I think, would have been a better, if it was before or after this match, been easier to do, is not comment on it. Not have commentary comment on it, like Lucha Underground used to do, where it was like, it was more like you were in the world of, like, the wrestling world, and so... Backstage things happen backstage. There weren't actually cameras there. You were watching them as an audience member at home, but you weren't seeing them as part of the people there. Like, so it was super weird because it was like, so not only is the family admitting to kidnapping and potentially murdering people on this bridge, but NXT is just cool with sending camera crews out there and watching it happen. Like, so it was weird.
Yeah.
That's so true.
I'm telling you, man, it's like everyone's like, what's the most dangerous place on the park in the planet? The NXT parking lot. Like, trust me, Andrew, before you joined You know, Will didn't believe me when I said the NXT parking lot was a thing, and then he started watching, and then within the span of what, like 3 months, Will, we saw four different women get jumped in the parking lot.
Yep.
The parking lot has it all. People get jumped. Remember when the Gallus boys got kidnapped at one point? Joe Gacy was in the trunk somewhere. People get thrown off of buildings into dumpsters all the time. Like,
it's crazy. NXT
is the most dangerous place, man. A car got set on fire at one point. It's wild over here. But yeah. Andrew, you were alluding to it before. I really don't want to talk about this match, but we have to. We gotta do our due diligence.
Why? So,
I know, but we have to talk about it. So,
it was so
we get
dumb.
What Will is alluding to is we got Lexus King versus Mr. Stone. 3 minutes, Lexus King hits the coordination for the win. Why?
Yeah, it was basically a squash match. Like, the most interesting thing about this was, and maybe it's because I haven't seen his entrance much, was Lexus King's entrance. And I don't know if we're supposed to see it, but the throne that slides on. I was like,
No, trust me.
I was like, that's kind of cool. But I also feel like Lexus King's beard is just going to get more and more crazy every time he's like on TV, because now it's got like certain lines cut into it and it's trimmed in a new way. And it's just going to get. Yeah.
I was like, what in the hunger? When you sent me that picture, Andrew, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't unsee it. I'm like, what in the Hunger Games is this? What is happening?
Lexus King is going to go. Yeah.
It changes every episode. It has a different line on it every episode. Every time he's on, it's completely different in some way. And it's like...
Some weeks, it is dyed better than other weeks, because some weeks I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, that looks like a chemical
some week
burn.
It's just going to be Lexus King written in his beard.
Oh gosh, like what the athletes do. Oh hell no. Nah,
he's so gross.
And I get that he's supposed to be gross, but like I'm starting to kind of, his presence is starting to wear on me, because I was like, okay, we get it. He's supposed to be this like Dick Dastardly kind of villain, like sleazy and just like literally, if the front man for Poison was a wrestler, that's literally what Lexus King is.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening with all this? I need something more. I need him to actually be involved in like an actual feud. Because right now we're just using him as cannon fodder to beat random dudes. Like, I guess we're trying to do something with Lexus, Vaughn, and Mr. Stone, but
What?
If I ever meet Vaughn Wagner, I'm gonna let Will speak on it in a little bit, but I was just like, of everyone in that locker room, you pick Vaughn Wagner and Mr. Stone to have a feud. No shade to either one of those gentlemen, but I am bambooed, puzzled, confuzzled. I'm like, I don't know what the direction is. Well, we have been following the Stone Wagner storyline since the dawn of time at this point. And we're starting to kind of get tired of this very shtick. So how do we feel about this whole thing with Stone not even getting a chance to fight?
You know, and again, of course, you know, we got the homoerotic moment, which I was wondering when it was going to happen. We got to do it at the end. So I was like, okay, here comes Vaughn. He's rescuing his husband. And I'm just like, and I think I sent it to you. I was like, every one of Alexis King's matches are boring. It's like, why are we doing these? And then all of a sudden we have this thing. Like, it's so funny because he picks fights with the most random people. Like, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't understand why he picked a fight with Mr. Stone. I mean, truly.
None of his... You're right. He picks fights with the randomest people, and they don't make sense. I still don't understand why we had Lexus pick a fight with Carmelo that gave us a match at, what was it, No Mercy?
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand. You know, I think Lexus King is a pretty decent wrestler. I don't think he's bad. I mean, he's got some aesthetic stuff he's got to work on, but I don't understand why they're not giving him a storyline. Like, he literally has no storyline. It's like you're this random creepy dude that creeps out all of the female, you know, interviewers and all the female wrestlers, comes in and talks like a big game to all the male wrestlers. And he's like, oh, like, I'm trying to destroy your confidence or whatever. I'm just like, I mean, is that it? Is that what you do? Because it's kind of dull. It's kind of boring. I'm getting kind of tired of it. So I want them to put him in like a true sort of, like, he has a nemesis. I'm waiting for someone or some faction to step up and be like, take him out, quote unquote.
You know, I originally thought because of him decimating Trey Bearhill and then subsequently beating him in a singles match, I thought we would have gotten something with Lexus and Eddie Thorpe. Like, I don't know why, but I was like, I would be here for Eddie versus Lexus, and that could be his first feud. I don't know if Eddie is injured or what, but I have not seen him on my television screen since the beginning of the year. And we haven't seen Trey either. Like, I know Trey is probably still learning the ropes, but I'm like, how are you going to put this man on television and then he just disappears?
But you know, that's what would be so great if it was him and Trey, because they're both, quote unquote, newer to NXT. You know, I know Trey's like new, but what a great person to put him up against as his sort of foe, to let him learn the ropes that way and let them do some, because I would be like here for that, because Trey has got some beef with Lexus, and which I don't feel has been resolved. And then all of a sudden Trey disappeared. I don't know what happened to Trey. And you're right, Eddie disappeared. I don't know what happened to Eddie. And I'm just like, why are all the Native American wrestlers disappearing?
See, when you can't see, I know where you're coming from, but when you phrase it like that, it's just like, Andrew's like,
You know me, but, you know me.
I know.
It's why?
I'd make a joke here about it, but.
If you want to see, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Speak your truth, Andrew.
No, it's all right. I think we can all figure out what you can correlate that to. But yeah, I mean, it was a squash match, and it seems like they were totally just using it to set up Von Wagner and Lexus King, but there was nothing exciting about that. He caught his friend.
But did it set this up? Match.
We got this match between Lexus and Vaughn already, didn't we? I feel like we
have already. Like, did it really? I mean, did it set up something? No. I don't think it set up anything. Yeah,
I mean, he caught his friend and then carried him away, and that was it.
His husband.
His roommate.
That's what they tell their family when they're visiting from college.
He's my friend. Exactly.
All right. Well, we're going to move on from our soap opera that is Von Wagner and Mr. Stone. The final verdict is we hate this. We don't know what's happening in this, which I feel applies to a lot of things lately in wrestling, but that's neither here nor there. Then we get a backstage interview with Obafemi, which I was like, my God, I forget how tall you are, my dude, compared to our interviewer. Like, the Oba feminists rise. That's what the fan base for Obafemi is now, the Oba feminists, which I'm not mad about. But
<funny. laughs>
that is. And then on the main roster, we have the Omos fans, who are known as the Omo Sapiens.
Oh, God.
Listen, I don't make the rules. The wrestling community does, and sometimes I love it, but majority of the time I hate it. But Obafemi is giving an interview backstage. He is interrupted by the other, like, one of the three tallest people in NXT, right? Well, four if you count Von Wagner. Some of the tallest people, Dijak interrupts, basically tells Obafemi he better hold on to that title tight because he's not going to have it for long. And Obafemi's like, I'm going to squash you like a bug, bro, but I'll see you later. I got a match. Bye! Andrew has feelings about Dijak, and I'm here for it. And so Andrew also probably didn't like the fact that I said, hey, you know what? You know we're probably going to get a triple threat, right? And he... Like, he didn't send the message, but I could feel him seething behind the phone.
When I was talking, when we were texting about, like, potential matchups for Oba at Stand and Deliver, you said that, and that's what reminded me of this interaction, because I'm pretty sure I just blocked it out of my brain, because when I saw this, I was like, oh, obviously they're setting up a match between Dijak and Femi. But, yeah, I totally just didn't even think about that. I was like, oh... Briggs is going to face, you know, Oba after what we saw in the match later, but yeah, I totally forgot about that. But yeah, like I said, I'm excited, if for no other reason, to watch Oba just smash Dijak, so.
That is very fair. So, look, I like Dijak, but it's taken me a while to get used to this new character. I mean, I'd rather have him and Gacy have one more match to kind of fill out the, you know, triple-ness of the whole entire thing, because we've only gotten two matches from them. We need one to complete the trilogy. But who knows? I just hope Gacy gets to do something at Stand and Deliver. You can't have Stand and Deliver without Gacy. Like, it's a crime at this point of how much I love him.
For the North American title.
Oh my gosh, Obafemi versus Gacy would be hilarious.
Oh my god, that would be fantastic.
Pit anybody against Gacy and enter the wacky wild world that is Joe Gacy.
Do you know why it would be so great? It's because Obafemi is so familiar with standardized wrestling. Like, all of his opponents have been very, like, straight across the board. Imagine if he got into the ring with a batshit crazy wrestler. I mean, he wouldn't know what to do with himself. I mean, because Gacy goes from... I mean, he's, like, everywhere. It's like literally pops up out of nowhere.
He literally popped out of a trunk. Like,
and when he was underneath... Remember when he was underneath the ring? During the Dijak and...
He came out on a skateboard underneath the ring and punched Dijak with the glove.
Yeah, with the glove, boxing glove. Oh, my God, it was so funny. Yeah, I think that, you know, imagine Obafemi fighting that. I mean, right. He wouldn't know what the hell to do.
A boxing glove.
It would be so funny. That would be a fun match to watch. Just to be fun to watch.
You could tell how much we are talking about how much we love the idea of Oba and Dijak. Here's the thing. Okay, so, like, we'll talk about it because we're going to get into this, but we're going to go from Obafemi's interview to the most staged promo ever, as Rich Holland is, you know, preparing for his match against Sean Spears, and then he gets a FaceTime call from his wife and daughter. I was like, his daughter's really cute, by the way, and I appreciated that Ridge angled the phone a bit so, like, we can kind of see the kid, but, like, the camera people can't get close details, protecting things and whatnot. I'm like, this is the most staged thing ever. I love Ridge, but I was like, we probably did not need this. Like, I would have been okay with this. We know what we're setting up for. They're trying really hard to get Ridge over as the baby face. And I feel that naturally he can be a face on his own. We don't need to try this
also
hard.
What's with NXT people and children being like, I feel like half the people on here were like, they're here because they're trying to support their family and their kids, or their kids were here and this happened and they talked about it and they did, and it was just like, what is happening?
Okay, so I totally agree with you, Andrew, but to be honest, I'd rather take this, because main roster does the complete opposite. Main roster, if you got a dead relative, they gonna use that thing as cannon fodder. Point blank example, Monday Night Raw, Candice LeRae and Maxine. If you don't know what we're talking about, I would say go look at it, but Candice was vicious in that delivery, and I was just like, me and Minnie, like, texted about this. It was like, look, I have kind of gone numb to using dead relatives in wrestling as, like, part of promos and things like that, but something about the way that Candice said it on Monday, I was like, I went to go hug my mom. I'm like, oh my gosh, I love you. Like,
she's no Christian
Cage. Oh, it was really bad. Look, we already established that the Dead Father Society belongs to Christian Cage. Like, if you got a dead dad, like, so that's going to be you. And Candace will just be the Dead Brother Society. Yeah, but I like Ridge. I feel that we didn't need this segment because I thought it didn't really add anything when we get to the match later that he had with Sean Spears. So I was just like, you're trying, NXT, you're trying really hard to get him over as a face. I like him already. You don't need to do anything extra for it. All right, so boys, you need to take a moment of silence. We're going to have a eulogy for Brooks Jensen's ego. All right, that's enough. So next, we get our NXT North American Championship match, which I have dubbed the squash of Brooks Jensen. So I was like, this is the most I have seen a wrestler toy with their opponent the whole entire time. And thinking back on it, I was like, Brooks, I love you, dude, but you kind of asked for this whooping. Like, you asked for your butt to get whooped because of how hard you're going at people now that you have become a changed man. Which is really weird to see because Josh was the one to spur him to do this, and now Josh is the one who's like, bro, you gotta take it back a couple steps. I was like, I told you to grow a pair. I didn't tell you to grow a pair and then start going around, like, picking fights with everybody. I was like, what's wrong with you?
This is all Briggs' fault. Truly. I mean, literally, this is all Briggs'
fault. He created a monster.
Did. Well, I mean, he basically told Jensen that he was worthless and that without him, he could do nothing. And he created this. He created this version of Jensen. He created this version of Jensen. And then all of a sudden, Jensen was doing like all this destructive behavior. It's like all of a sudden, that's why he was finding the biggest guy in the room and picking a fight with him. And it's like, no, and it did not. So the whole match, and when they were showing, you know, Briggs backstage, and then when he came out, I was thinking, dude, this is your fault. He's getting his ass pummeled because of you. And then he comes out there all like, get up. I'm like, too little, too late. It's too late. You know, it's like he's literally being turned into mashed potatoes right now. And it's all your fault, dude. You literally put him in the water and turned the fire on. So I was literally the whole time going, Briggs, go away. Just go away. And I'm just like, man. I mean, I don't diss Jensen for this fight at all. I blame all of this on Briggs. I do. I blame every bit of this on him. And, you know, and Oba was just doing his thing. And, it's, you know, I have no bad feelings for Oba either because he was like, dude, you challenged. I accepted.
And he warned him, too. I'm going to whoop your butt up and down this ring. I hope you're ready for it. And then, he did tell Josh, I was just like, this is on you. In the parking lot when the episode started, he's like, this one's on you, dude.
And then you see when Briggs came out, the match became about Oba and Briggs. Because they were constantly talking at each other. And I was like, Jensen's got caught in the crossfire of this.
Which all because then, of Briggs. Yeah, and because Jensen's soul left his body by the end of this match, this is where I formulated, I was like, we're getting a triple threat match, aren't we, between Oba, Dijak, and Josh at Stand and Deliver, because there's always got to be one match at Stand and Deliver that's the Haas match.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, the way that Oba threw Jensen around, especially after Briggs came out, like it was crazy, especially because it's not like he's a small dude, so, like,
brutal.
Yeah. But
no. Yeah, there for a little while, Jensen was holding his own. I'll give it to him. You know, there was that one point where he picked Oba up and, like, body slammed him. I was just like, it's like, you know, and then, of course, Oba was like, now I must destroy you. And that's when it all kind of kind of unraveled. Yeah, he showed a lot of
toughness, but I mean that's kind of plays into the problem that he has. He's too tough for his own good, because it usually means he's going to keep getting up to take the punishment. And like you were saying, he's basically the dude that his big brother told him, "Hey, you're not a man unless you are willing to step up and fight the, you know, the baddest dudes." And so now he's like trying to live by that, and it's clearly not going very well for him. But yeah, it was fun watching Oba do what Oba does.
And then Josh was like hamlining it up as like, "Oh, poor York, we hardly knew you at the end of this match." I was like, see, I studied Shakespeare a little
bit. I'm telling you, that's the end of this match when he came out and he was watching Jensen get just destroyed. It had total Opie from Sons of Anarchy. I told you.
And when you said it to me, I was like, "God, Opie, no!"
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, this boy." But I'm just like, Oba is still your NXT North American champion. Duh. You know, the funny thing is, I think we're getting this triple threat at Stand and Deliver, and Oba's going to walk out of that thing still champion. And I am still firmly believing the only person who is going to be able to take that title off of him, because it's irrelevant, because we talked about it in our group chat, is Wesley. I think Wes is going to be the only one who's going to be able to take that title off of Oba, because technically I think Wes was supposed to be champion right now.
I agree.
Me and Will have talked about this, and then we talked a little bit about this when it was supposed to be Wes and Dominic for the NXT North American Championship. I believe Wes was supposed to take it off Dominic, but then, you know, he announced that he was injured. He's going to go out for a little bit. So that's why we had Dragon Lee, and now we have Oba Family. I think Wes is going to come back and take that title, but Oba's walking out of Stand and Deliver with that title.
Oh, yeah, he is. Absolutely.
So, all right. So we go from here. We already talked about the second half of the Tony and Ilya saga. So now we get into the most bizarre match ever. We can't call it Dick Kick City. So, like, I don't know what we call it, but Ariana Grace versus Gigi Dolin. The stipulations are, if Gigi loses, she has to basically go to etiquette school with Ariana so Gigi can learn to be a proper lady. And this was a weird two-minute match. The first minute and a half, it was a standard match. I was like, cool. I was like, all right, we know Ariana can wrestle, Santino's daughter. I mean, duh. And then Gigi's really good. Then it spiraled into madness because Ariana, I mean, she says it's accidental. I think it was on purpose. She kicked Gigi in Where Don't Shine. She hit Gigi in the Gigi Dolin, which then prompted, as soon as Ariana and the ref turned back around, Gigi hit Ariana Grace in the Ariana Grace.
I thought she actually uppercutted her, because from the angle, it looked like she actually
literally
punched her instead of doing the classic arm underneath to come out from behind.
To pull a really weird analogy, like in my musical reference geeks, if you listen to hip hop, she literally pulled the Roddy Ricch at the box out of nowhere. I was just like, what is happening right now? I mean, but Gigi loses the match, so Ariana wins from DQ. I was just like, this is up. I mean, I guess it's better than watching Gigi lose again.
I mean, I think that
low-key, I'm kind of excited.
There's a lot of moments in this where it wasn't super clean, but Ariana's performance skills really helped sell a lot of the stuff, like her reactions to things and all that kind of stuff really worked. Mm-hmm. But then the finish was a way to have it be, you know, Gigi didn't lose to Ariana in a pinning fashion or submission, and technically Ariana didn't really cheat to win, because her opponent, even though it was retaliatory, cheated to give her the win. And so I think it kind of set it up in a way that made sense for the characters that we have, as much sense as you know, some of those characters make. But I do love that I was hearing about this match before I actually watched it, and apparently Ariana came on like social media and she was like, yes, it does hurt when you get hit there. Like, she was like, I know you always think about dudes getting hit there, but yes, it would hurt if you got punched there.
Yes.
This was like, I paused my television because like I was uncontrollable laughing. I'm like, what is this? I was like, this is stupid. I was like, do I make that the thumbnail for this video? I was just like, probably. I'm still going back and forth. I'm probably going to keep it as trick, but who knows?
It was a weird little match.
I thought this was weird, yes. But I'm excited for the prospect of what we're getting with the etiquette classes. Yeah. I think it's going to be hilarious.
It's going to be hilarious.
I hope it leads to a beauty contest.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like a pageant.
Yes.
Fathers and tiaras.
I just want to see her taking like...
Gigi.
I was going to say, I just want to see her taking Gigi Nolan to like etiquette classes with a bunch of like young girls. Like, and she's like little the one adult there, and they're like learning which forks to use, how to walk with a book on your head.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I hope it culminates into like a beauty pageant. Is like, come to the stage, contestant number 532, Gigi Dolan. My name is Gigi Dolan. I am from Gumshire, South Carolina. like the full package. Yo, just ridiculous and stupid. And I would love it.
What's your talent?
I beat girls up in the wrestling ring. Oh, fabulous. Bless your heart. Oh, my goodness. This was a weird match. So we weren't done with the women, because after we got this match, we head backstage where we see Carmen Petrovic and Sol Ruka, who returned last week after helping Fallon beat Blair in a match. And Carmen says, girl, like, I know it's been 8 months since you've been out on injury, but the locker room has changed and there's some crazy women in here. And then cue Lola Vice's crazy butt to come in. And I was just like, see, now this is the Lola Vice I love. I was like, she's just fiery and she goes back and forth from English to Spanish. I was just like, this is the Lola Vice that I've missed, because the last couple of weeks, times we've seen her, I was like, she's kind of looking like a square at this point. But she comes in and she basically tells Carmen and Sol, specifically Sol, is just like, girl, you're not it. Like, I will beat you up. And then Carmen's like, girl, let's fight right now. She's about to pull up her hair. And Sol, being the surfer she is like, yo, guys, we got to chill, bruh. Like, oh, it's just like, that is not a character. That is her, because her parents are exactly like that. How do I know this? Because we got to talk to her parents last year when we were at Stand and Deliver. Like, it was nuts.
That's
just crazy. They're lovely people, by the way. Shout out to Sol Ruka's parents. Mr. and Mrs. Ruka, you are super nice. Thank you for talking with us at Stand and Deliver. It was great. And then we got the most randomest sighting. Brinley Reese comes in cartwheeling into the scene. And then she's just super energetic. And my favorite part of this whole thing is Idris Inofe and Malik Blade like carry her from both of the arms and just walk her out. Like, she's like, we're sorry. She does this all the time. She's like, she had too much caffeine today. And Carmen's just looking at us like, what is this? And Saul's just like chilling.
Can I just
like, what?
I love that they've become a trio.
Yes.
I mean, I really do.
I love it.
I, you know, it's one of those silly, you know, silly sort of teaming, you know, teaming sort of schematics, but I just love it. Just the three of them play off of each other so well. You know, I just, that was one of my favorite little moments, is when they like, God.
And it's funny because not really knowing much about her, and then, you know, only seeing the other two in matches, starting to see their segments backstage, I find myself with Brinley is like, she's a bit over the top. Like, at first I'm like, what is this? But then when it's done, though, I'm like entertained. So they've really grown on me, and so is she. But it's funny because I find myself comparing her to Thea Hale, especially in the backstage segments. And I feel it's like, here's one for me that works, and here's one for me that doesn't. And so it was just something interesting I noticed in this segment. Yeah, but those three together are really funny, especially because she's the, you know, she's the funny one, and they're the kind of straight men against her comedy act. And so it's just, it's funny how they mix together and give, like, what was it, the segment they had when it was one of their birthdays? I can't remember if it was Idris or not, but it was one of their birthdays, and they were getting the birthday boy to do push-ups for their birthday, and it was just the way they interact is so funny.
I love the trio. I'm excited. I'm happy to see Soul back. I'm going to send you a video after we're done. She has the Soul Snatcher as what they call her finisher, which is a very interesting finisher. If you have not seen it, it is kind of crazy that she's doing it, and I hope she changes it, because like Gail Kim, it's going to hurt your back when you do it, but you know, that's neither here nor there. So then we get our tag team match. Izzy Dane and Kiana James versus Thea Hale, which initially starts out as a 2-on-1 because somebody attacked Kalani Jordan. My money is on JC Jane. I would love it when Thea be like, it was you, Blair. I was like, look, I beat four women up, but she was not on my hit list. because Blair Davenport has beat up Sol Ruka, Nikita Lyons, Wendy Chu. Like, her list goes on. It's just like, yeah, I beat those girls up, but I didn't beat Kalani Jordan, because if I did, she would be out on injury for a couple months. But somebody attacked Kalani. My money's on JC. So this match starts out as a 2-on-1, and then who should answer the call, sound the horn? It is Coyote Ugly herself, Fallon Henley. And so this becomes a proper 2-on-2 tag team match. And if anything, all four of these women, but focusing on Kiana, Thea, and Fallon, they have come so far. So far. And I was just like, over the last year, I was like, you know what? I'm super proud to be a part of this journey, because all three, well, even Izzy, even though she's relatively new, all four of these women have come so far, just of how well they've improved in the ring. They have defined characters now. I thought this was a fun match. Yeah,
I felt like this.
I mean, this, it's more women's matches.
Like, they had their foot to the pedal, like, the whole time. Like, everybody was going with full intensity, full speed. I was really surprised by this match. Just the work rate that they were throwing out there was awesome. And watching Thea Hale, like, in the ring, actually got me much more interested in her, because she's kind of like, if you mixed, like, Alexa Bliss with a Tasmanian devil, like, that's the energy that I got from her. So I like that. And just the little snippets of history that I got about Kiana and Fallon and some of that stuff, because not knowing much about their history. So, yeah, I thought it was, like, a really good match. Really, really good match.
Yeah, it was. I loved this match. I didn't know what I was. I didn't know what to expect at the beginning, because I was thinking, oh, it's going to be one of those matches, you know. And boy, it was not at all one of those matches. I was just like, I mean, I was texting Mikey through the whole thing. And I was just like, oh my gosh, wow. I mean, this was really good. I was very, very, very happy to see, like, Thea and Fallon, and I mean, really all of them. I mean, honestly, all four of these women just come out just like full on. There was no holding back. It was like a full on match, and it wasn't just like a silly, like, I thought it was going to be one of those just sort of silly, you know, because it's become that sort of thing whenever Thea's involved. It becomes a silly match, and it kind of started that way, and then of course Fallon joined in, and then it just took off, and I was just like, okay, this is going to be a good match. This is not going to be just a throwaway match. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this match. I thought all four women performed well. The three really have grown a lot since I've started watching and knowing them. I mean, it's especially Thea. I mean, it's really amazing to see how much she has grown you know, even from before the JC days to now, is just like, she's just grown just leaps and bounds, you know. And of course Fallon, now she's out on her own, she's holding her own, and I mean it's great. I thought it was a great match. I really enjoyed it a lot. So
unfortunately Thea and Fallon lose, so Izzy and Kiana win this match. And then we get Thea was kind of already still a face at this point, but we get the official breakaway promo where JC comes down. JC and Jasmine are in the ring, and Fallon's chilling in the corner. Thea gets the microphone, and she literally, I thought we were friends, but I guess not promo, which I loved. She's like, I thought you were my friend. I considered you my best friend, but not no more. I'm leaving this toxic relationship. You're a toxic friend. The old Thea Hale is back. B, and then drops the microphone. I was just like, and then she Tasmanian deviled all over the ring.
I don't know what the old Thea Hale means, or what's up with running around the ring.
Cray cray.
She literally took Honey Boo Boo's Go Go Juice times 10.
I mean, I'm willing to see where they go with this turn and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I was like, all right.
Hopefully she teams with Fallon for a little bit, because I love Thea and Fallon as a team.
Me too. Well, she's back to her full Chase U like persona, but I think it's going to be an edgier Thea. I don't think it's going to be the same Thea that we got in the past. I think she's like the old Thea's back, and she does the whole, you know, the Chase U. But I was like, yeah, but you're a changed woman now, because you've got that, she's gotten that feel of what it is to be a solo fighter and a tag team, like a true tag team partner, and that sort of, she's gotten under her skin now. You know, because before she was just sort of the bubbly, you know, hey, Miss, you know, everybody, hey, the sort of cheerleader, quote unquote. And now I think she's going to take a step up and be like a true member of Chase U, like not just sort of the cheerleader version of Thea, but I think she's going to be like, I got a voice and you're going to hear it type of thing. And I'm really excited about that.
I am too. I'm excited to see where this goes, whether this develops into something for Stand and Deliver or for NXT. I'm here for it either way. Because listen, more women's matches on pay-per-views is something I'm never going to complain about. Okay. So someone who also is appreciative is this new Thea. We cut backstage where Chase U member Riley Osborne is watching the television and is cheering on. It's like, that's the Thea that I know. And then in comes in No Quarter Catch Crew, where they basically berate Riley Osborne. And more so, literally, we get in the bumpers is Riley Osborne's going to challenge for the NXT Heritage Cup against somebody from, you know, No Quarter Catch Crew, because they're going to enact the...
You know, no, I'm really getting tired of that.
You tell know, us how I you really feel, Wheel.
I am. The No Quarter Catch Crew... I'm getting real tired of that. We get to pick who you fight. I'm like, what? I don't. Yeah, okay, first of all, I don't have a beef with all four of you. I have a beef with you, dude. You and me. I don't give a shit about the other three. So why are you going to pick who's fighting me when I'm sitting here literally challenging you? And I'm just like, that is dumb. It's getting dumb. At first, it was cute and it was fun. But now I'm like, okay, I'm done with it. I'm so done with it. And Dempsey, he should not be speaking.
You know,
like, that's the first time I've heard him like in a backstage, truly backstage promo where he was like the lead talker. And I was just like, oh no.
See, on the one hand, I was just like, you know what? I want to give people a chance, because sometimes, you know, speaking is not everyone's forte. But then on the other hand of it, I'm like, you are William Regal's son. How have you not learned anything from your father? Like, Charlie Dempsey, your dad is William Regal. one of the all-time greats in professional wrestling.
Because good How speaking we... is not genetic.
Well, okay, it's not well, genetic. No need to yell at me.
I'm just like, oh my God. You know me and bad speakers. You know me when people like I was that way with Braun Breaker and Corbin. And Corbin.
Separately.
I was like, God, stop giving them microphones. And now I'm a little more lenient because I like them as a tag team, and they've somehow gotten better, and I don't know why. I think they complete each other, I guess. I don't know. But now it's like Dempsey opened his mouth, and I was immediately like, someone needs to take the mic from him, or take, you know, someone needs to shut him up. It's like, and then they finally kind of did, and he kind of stood in the background, and I was like, there you go. That's where you need to be. Because one, and this is just me, because I'm the big G in the group. He is an unattractive human being and should not be the voice of your group. Put him to the back. Because I was like, I can handle one not being good, but a combination, I'm just like, no. I literally was like, I stopped listening. I was just like, until the, what's his name? The main guy started talking. I can never remember his name.
Drew Gulak.
Thank you, Drew Gulak. And when he started talking, I was like, okay, we're back. I mean, it was like, because he's a good speaker. And I'm just like, and I'm all for giving everybody a shot. Obviously, you should give all your team members a chance. But you should do it in small increments. That way you can test it. As opposed to, here's a monologue for you to do. Please go out there and speak this. No. Don't do that. Because it doesn't work sometimes. Because, you know, sometimes people need public speaking classes. Like Dempsey. Dempsey needs a public speaking class.
I will say my...
I mean, tell us how...
This may just be coming from my, you know, lack of sleep and being angry at the world. I don't know. But
we like when Will gets spicy around here. Makes good content. Just, you know, but anyways, Andrew, you were saying...
I did like Axiom's, shall we call it a Serpentico moment, of talking about how he and Nathan Frazier have a close relationship with the first person to hold the Heritage Cup, which was pretty fun. Yeah.
It's like, whatever happened to him? Which, if you don't know... was a kid who Axiom is, unmasked. You know, yeah. Actually is, which is hilarious. I still don't understand why we decided to put a mask on a kid, but whatever. Anyways, but yeah, so Nathan Frazier is also tired of hearing the no quarter catch crew talk, so him and Axiom come in, and basically this is sets up with what we get. So Riley Osborne will be facing for the Heritage Cup Championship next week. And then Nathan Frazier and Axiom will be going up against whoever's going to represent No Quarter Catch Crew in the tournament to see who becomes the Wolf Dog's new opponent. So we're going to leave that there and moving on. We get a quick backstage promo from the Good Brothers, which you could tell they taped during SmackDown because we got to talk about Gallus's beard. I was like,
when he kept playing with it.
I was like,
yeah.
I was like, I can't unsee it. Stop.
Yeah. I know. It was so like I couldn't avert my eyes. It was like a train wreck. I was like, I can't wait. Did you say something? Because I was hypnotized.
I was just like, that is the thinnest, longest beard of my life. And so I'm sitting there. I was like, I have to look at Carl Anderson's bald head in order to distract myself.
I know. It was like, can't look away. I was like,
I'd rather look at the bald head than the weird beard stuff.
I literally have no idea what they were talking about. I had no idea.
To be fair, like, I closed my eyes and listened to them, and I still didn't get too much. I was just like, it's the same thing that you've already said before. I was just like, all the other tag teams better be put on notice. I was like, bro, we know that you're going to Stand and Deliver. Now, if you win the titles, is a different story, but we know you're going to Stand and Deliver. Yeah. So why are we pretending to play?
Stop trying to convince hang out with you. It's not going to
happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mia Yim has moved on from everybody. You two need to. It's like breaking up with the boyfriend. Leave him, the toxic boyfriend alone. Stop calling, stop texting him. He's not interested in you anymore.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness. So after this, we get into our last match of the evening before we get our Trick Williams segment. So Sean Spears versus Ridge Holland. I told you, I texted Will this. I was like, the more you see Sean Spears, you're going to question if you can marry a chair by the end of everything. Because I was like, Sean Spears has a really weird relationship with chairs.
He really does. He's a chair fetish.
Can I be honest? This is probably my favorite match of the night. And, you know, looking at everything else, there was very slim pickings.
Yeah.
Which is really sad to say, but I'm going to say this was my match of the night only because I'm super happy to see Sean Spears actually be utilized in some capacity, unlike in other companies. We're not going to name names, AEW, but the chairman. Don't worry about it. The chairman is in NXT. I like this match because it was fun. I also like watching Ridge kind of lose his mind a little bit when he threw Sean Spears through the table. I was like, the darkness is complete. And then he was about to hit him with the chair, but didn't, which then allowed Sean Spears to pick up the victory. And then Sean Spears was not really, but kind of making out with the chair at the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Sean Spears.
It was a good match. I think the Ridge Holland thing's getting a little thin, too.
I liked it better when he was getting beat up by the Gallus Boys.
You know, can he control himself? Who cares? There are plenty of other folks that don't control themselves. So
he was teaming with Pete Dunne and Sheamus not too long ago. I was like, Sheamus is like a notorious hothead in WWE.
I know.
Like, what are we doing?
So that's what I was like when he was all like, oh no, what am I doing? I'm like, oh really? Is this where we're gonna go? Really? Come on. I'd much rather see you go the other way. I would much rather see you try nearly
He's going
kill him.
To.
You know, just like, you know, oh yeah. And I was just like, can we please go there? Because the traumatized Ridge is kind of getting old. And it's because they've drawn it out too much. I think it's they've focused too much on it. Because at the beginning, it was like, oh yeah, this is bad. Oh, did they just do that? Oh, don't do that, blah, blah, blah. And then the interviews happen, and it was just like, it just kept drawing it out and drawing it out and drawing it out. Then he fought the Gallus Boys, and then there it was again, and at the end, and then he came in, he was hitting people with chairs, and then there it was again, and then we have this match, and it's like, there it is again, and it's like, oh my God, just snap already. You know, become the big villain of NXT. I'm here for it. Because I'm tired of whatever this is. It's really getting thin. And I'm just like, and because I love this match, and I agree, this is probably my match of the night too, but I just was like, I'm so tired of it. It's like, I just snap already. I literally just snap and break somebody in half, and let's move on. You know, come on. I mean, hello, look what happened to Von Wagner, and we're still here. You know, I mean, look where his attacker is right now. Like, come on. Just attack somebody and get it over with. Seriously. And I guess this guy is great. It's just as good as anybody. But it's like, so I kind of hope this is a ongoing, we want to murder each other thing, because I kind of want it to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll stop talking now.
I was saying last week, I think that Sean Spears is like, I think Ridge Holland is the first of a few he's going to turn to, you know, his side of just letting them, like, you know, embrace the joy of hurting people. And this version of Spears is so good. Like, just when, like, Ridge Holland had him up on his shoulder and he was going to run him into the ring post, and he was like, do it. Like, just like trying to, like, it's the, you know, the Joker from the Dark Knight just getting punched on the ground and just like, yeah, come on, hit me, like, show me what you've got, like, you know. And I think this version of Sean Spears can definitely change the landscape of NXT. And I honestly, I think he could work over you know, Rollins, Cody, Reigns, like all the top guys in the main roster, if they let him, like if they let him take this character to that level, like he could be a villain that could just like disrupt so many things. The question is, would they ever let him do something like that? I don't think so. So I, at this point, I say just keep him in NXT and let him just like be that dark force that no one else wants to mess with. Also, I haven't seen a rope tie-up in forever. Like, someone get caught up in the top and the second rope like that. Like, I haven't seen someone do that in so long. I was like, oh, wow, I feel a little nostalgic with that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed the rope tie-up, even though Ridge's arm did slip out, you know, halfway through, but it was still nice. John Spears picks up the victory. I feel that we're not completely done with these two yet, which I'm okay with. So we go from here. We get our bumpers for next week, which we've already talked about before. Roxanne versus Tatum. We get our last two qualifying matches, the Good Brothers versus Hank and Tank. Oh, poor Hank and Tank. Y'all gonna lose, and it makes me sad. And then we get probably my most anticipated match in a weird way, Nathan and Axiom versus whoever's representing the No Quarter Catch crew. I'm hoping one of those members is Drew Gulak, because Drew is amazing in the ring, and it would be amazing. So that's my most anticipated match. And we then move on to, oh, and how can I forget? An NXT Heritage Cup Championship match. Riley Osborne is going to valiantly lose to whoever he's fighting for that Heritage Cup. Fine. So then we get into our main event. Your boy, Trick Williams, whoop that Trick, is back in NXT. After, you know, trying to beat up on Carmelo last week, Trick gets into the ring and he cuts his promo. Listen, I love Baby Trick. I really, really do. I really, really do. But I was just like, the first part of this promo, I was like, okay, we still got to find our footing. And then he kind of found his way into it. I was like, look, I don't care. I'm excited for him versus Carmelo at Stand and Deliver. Like, we literally been building to this match for a year at this point. And then we entered Bizarro Land because then all of a sudden Metaphor has beef with Trick. So then, you know, Metaphor coming out and Noam Dar wanting to take away the spotlight from Trick, I could totally see. But then we went into the weirdest direction possible. Because at first, when Noam Dar was talking and all of them were on the ring, because Noam Dar mentions, he's like, there's no one more hotter than you, Trick. And then Trick replies, which caught me off guard because I was like, where are we going with this? You know, the way that Lashley looking at me, I mean, I understand why. I was like, hold the phone. I was like, so for those of you that don't know, because I follow the weird messiness that is wrestling relationships, Trick Williams and Lash Legend are an actual item in real life, so they are dating, which is interesting. So that, I was like, okay, this. If you didn't know that, weird. Out of context, that'd be kind of creepy. It'd be super weird, super creepy. But because I knew this context, I was like, okay, that's kind of cute. Then we went into the weirdness because, you know, Noam and Oro step in. They try to fight Trick. Trick fights him off. Lash tries to hit Trick from behind. Trick reverses it, and then they make out. I was just like, I literally paused my television. I was like, that was a choice. And my favorite part of this whole thing, though, is Trick throws out Noam and Ora Mensa. Like, Noam Dar gets thrown out through the ropes, but Ora Mensa, like, literally gets spider monkey thrown. He does, like, a full two barrel rolls when he gets thrown over. I was like, okay, that's kind of dope. Part. And so next week, we're getting Noam and Trick, I guess, and Trick stands tall at the end of the show. I was like, what
my
did I just
watch? My
favorite
part of them getting thrown out was that when Noam Dar got thrown out, his shoe came off. So they run up and they're like,
yeah,
getting his shoe back.
Yeah, this was a thing. This was a thing.
The promo was fine. I was like, okay, I'm excited.
The Noam thing, I don't... where did this
come but then from? When Metaphor came out, I was like, I think we lost the plot, and it went off the rails real quick.
Is this just to give him something to do before Stand and Deliver? I mean,
absolutely.
Noam Dar's not doing anything.
you have to keep Carmelo and Trick away from each other until we get to Stand and Deliver, which is really weird.
I guess it makes sense with Noam. Noam's one of those who has to be in the spotlight anyway, and right now Trick's in the spotlight, and he's not anymore. So I guess I get that angle, but I'm just like, this was so out of left field. I was like, where is this coming from? I mean, Noam's never had an issue with Trick before. I'm just trying to figure out where all of this came from. Like, I mean, truly. Like, why all of a sudden is Noam putting his nose in here? It's like, don't you have a Heritage Cup to get back? I mean, can't you be focusing on
that? That's what I thought we were going to do. But I guess, in a weird way, if I'm going to be honest, if we were going to give Trick somebody to fight until we get to Stand and Deliver in a really weird way, and I think you two would probably crucify me, I would have rather had Lexus and Trick fight it out instead, because we do somewhat have history between those two.
I would love to have seen that. I think that would have been a better choice.
Because Lexus, you know, wants to be that turd, and he's also another character that wants to steal the spotlight. But I would believe Lexus more, given the fact he did the same thing to Carmelo, so he would try to do the same thing to Trick.
Yeah.
Since there is some prior history there, which I was like, but you know what? NXT doesn't hire me to do these things. I'm just saying, hire us. We know what we're doing, NXT. Please, we would love to write and book for you. For like
hire fans.
Don't hire fans. Hire us, because if we let fans.
I mean, fans. You know, that's because you know what you want. You know what works from our point of view.
Yes, we are fans, but we are smart fans. We want to book for what's best for the talent.
We are fans, not fanatics.
Yeah. There we go. I like that term. But yeah, this was a really weird end. Like, I'm going to be honest. I think the thumbnail is going to be Trick and Lash probably making out, just because I think it's hilarious in a weird way. Like, this was the weirdest ending to NXT. And I have nothing else to say about it. So let's just get into our final ratings. I don't know what I watched. I had to take a shower after I watched it, because I was just like, I feel weird inside. I don't know what happened. You know, there were some good things, but there was a lot of things that I had lots of questions on, and I needed an adult. I was like, what is this? Ah!
There was like no consistency in this episode.
No. Like, and that makes I think that's the biggest letdown. I was just like, I laughed a lot, but like, I was like, there's nothing consistent. I know. We got some build towards Stand and Deliver, but everything else, it felt like an SNL sketch gone bad. Like,
it was like a bag of like Chex trail mix. You know, it's like you kind of know what's in the bag, but you don't know what you're going to get when you put your hand in there.
Or better yet, this week's NXT was like a bag of potato chips. Like, you pay like $9-$10 for the bag. And it's like 75% air, and the rest is actual chips. So I'm going to go first. I'm going to give this episode a 5 out of 10, because the consistency was all over the place. And here's the thing. I enjoyed some of the wrestling, but my biggest thing when it comes to my wrestling, I like storylines. I want things to make sense. I love the goofiness of wrestling, but when you have too much of it on any episode, and I don't care what company you are, I'm going to mark it down a lot of points, because especially we're in the middle of building towards NXT's biggest pay-per-view of the year, which is Stand and Deliver, which is in 3 weeks. And outside of Tony and Ilya and what we're doing with the tag team championships, we kind of got something with Roxanne, but and those are the only three matches, because then I need consistency. I need to figure out what's next on the plate, like who's going to NXT Stand and Deliver, what's going to be happening over the next couple weeks of NXT. Again, I felt like this week where there was a lot of like sketches, and some of them were okay, but this was like a really bad SNL sketch gone bad for a lot of these. I'm giving this a 5 out of 10. I need consistency, and I hate to be that person, but you gotta make it make sense sometimes. So I'm giving this a 5 out of 10.
I gave it a 6 for most of the same reasons.
You're fired. I'm just kidding. Wait,
I thought that the matches, for the most part, were pretty decent. The episode as a whole was a little inconsistent and weird. You know, but weird's not necessarily bad. You know, it was. My score was mostly based on inconsistency than anything else. I mean, because, like I said, I thought a lot of the matches were pretty good. Even the silly, stupid ones weren't horrible. I mean, they were, but they had some merit, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, that's basically it. Because I gave it a 6. 6, maybe 6.5.
I will be honest that most of my rankings are based on the matches themselves. It takes a lot of the promos and things to really bring me down in my scores, so I actually gave it an 8. I thought the matches, the ones that weren't great, were still fun and got me kind of interested in stuff. And I think the fact that I didn't feel like, even though going back over it, there were a lot of promos, unlike the last few weeks, I haven't felt where I was like, oh, cool, there's some wrestling in this promo TV show that we're watching. So the matches actually stood out enough that I was enjoying this episode of wrestling. I thought the matches were really good. The only one I didn't give any points to, but I don't count them, are squash matches, and that was the Lexus King Mr. Stone match. Had that actually been a match, I probably would have given it a much lower ranking, as far as it would have taken some points away from the rest. But overall, I thought it was a good episode of NXT, and it's clear where they're trying to go, or at least I think it's clear where they're trying to go with Stand and Deliver, but we'll see if they continue what they've started or if things get more questionable as we go along, because we do have some time before Stand and Deliver, so it could either get more clear and more obvious, or it could get way more muddy, and I could look back at this and go like, what were you thinking, or how did you get to this point? But as of now, I'm intrigued to see what the road to Stand and Deliver will bring us.
Always have to have an optimist in the group.
Yeah.
And usually it's me.
I know. Usually it's Mikey, yeah.
I was just expecting
hated this episode. No,
if you know, Mikey's not going to be there for it, I guess I have to be, so.
I will probably be the forever pessimist for the next couple of weeks. Just so you all know.
Boy, howdy, if you're tired now, I'm apologizing in advance, because WrestleMania weekend is going to be
just
crazy.
Remember, Will, you mm-hmm. still have Friday to look forward
to. All right,
to,
we're going
to... So hopefully that will be a fun night of stuff for us.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's going to be a full day of stuff for me all day. I got to go out of town. I got to go to Dallas. I got so much to do on that day.
On that lovely little note, we're going to get up on out of here. Because we've been here talking about NXT. We give it our final ratings. We love NXT. Sometimes, though, each week is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with each surprise. So, we're going to get up on out of here. If you enjoyed this review, make sure to check out all the other stuff we have here at the BC WrestlePod YouTube channel. You can follow us all over the social medias at BC WrestlePod. We have audio versions of all our reviews. If you can't watch our beautiful faces, let our voices carry you through your work week. And of course, as if you want to see us live and in person, some of us are going to be at New Jersey WrestleCon Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. It was just announced that Luther the Butler is going to now be there as, you know, a signee. So I may or may not have him sign my shoes, you know, channeling his inner Tony Storm. Just putting it out there. But from myself, Andrew, Will, and the rest of the BC WrestlePod boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay by iconic, all you guys, gals, non-binary pals, he, she, theys, and gays of the internet, and trying something new from this week onwards. Remember, you deserve to finish your story. We will see you next time, but until then, That's all for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.